Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown in a wild top in the charts.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get what I deserve, cause I'm chilling in the background, knowing that I'm gonna give it everything I got.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the podcast, Theanos, presented by Moot's Pizzeria and Bar in beautiful downtown Detroit. My name is Jordan Hall, and I'm joined, as always, by a man who, according to his own words, is now vaxxed, waxed, and relaxed. It's Eric Wayne. Eric, how are you doing? Did you have a nice vacation?
It was great. You know, my Speedo was on, you know, bare and just tanned. Oh, I'm living the beach life, my friend.
I'm sure your kids were thrilled to see so much more of their father than they, I'm assuming, normally would see. I don't know. Maybe you're shirtless on the regular.
You know, children have no greater desire than to see their father, you know, bronzed with a little bit of gut hanging over the banana hammock and, you know, oiled in some fashion. Don't all children want them?
I think so. It's actually funny. Do you know the Borat Mankini?
Of course, it goes over their shoulders. Yeah,
of course. The guy that I work with and I were discussing, like, obviously it was made for a joke, but you know that there's somebody out there that would actually wear that thing.
Yeah, Europeans. they have different social mores.
That is very true. Was there a specific highlight to your vacation?
Well, speaking of that, I learned that my brother, when he was in Europe, visited a nude beach. So this is kind of topical. So I found that fascinating. My own flesh and blood would do this. I encouraged him. You know, bravo, live that European lifestyle.
Did he describe that experience?
Sorry. He did a little bit. I guess it was fairly benign.
I'm assuming, like, I feel like...
Would you visit a nude beach?
So here's the thing. Like, I feel like the pervert inside everyone is like, oh, nude beach, like, that would probably be interesting. But I bet it's way more people that you would prefer to not see that way than that is fine. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that is a pleasant experience for most eyeballs. And I live in Michigan/Indiana. We don't have many of those. I don't know, but.
I don't even know if I could look at another person because I would be so self-conscious.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, my little shy parts would be so shy. I don't know if I could do it.
Yeah.
Same thing with like, you know, these Japanese bathhouses or whatever. I'm not real comfortable with nudity.
Interesting.
To be honest. Are you comfortable with your own flesh?
I feel like in a locker room situation is different than like a nude beach. This is not where I thought this conversation was going to be going.
What? I even forgot the question you asked me.
I don't
what
know.
Was highlights?
Highlights. Yeah, highlight. And you went into nude beaches.
Lack of clothing was pretty much that. No, I went fishing, deep sea fishing.
Really?
It was fun. We caught, one of the dudes on the boat caught a 22-pound grouper.
Dang.
It's like a $600 fish. It was enormous.
I'm assuming you keep that?
The dude who got it did, yeah, for sure. He kept the meat and the carcass for it.
What do you do in a carcass?
Make more fish foods out of it. Like, you can get the cheek meat out of it.
Gotcha. Okay, so it has soup. Dietary use. Okay.
Yeah, it was more than the... Yeah, they filleted it and then kept more of the meat.
I was thinking trophy. I'm like, that's a very weird trophy.
Friends, I promise you, this is a Detroit Tigers podcast. We will get there. I promise you.
Speaking of, did you get to see much of the Tigers on vacation? Because I texted you the one day, like, how's your vacation going? And you sent me a picture, like, feet up looking at the TV and said, I hope the Tigers don't kill my vibe. And I want to say they lost like 13-3 that day.
Yeah, like, there's some bad baseball, but we had a nice setup there. Whatever game was on ESPN, they had a nice outdoor TV there, and there were palm trees, and then we had drinks, and it was pretty good.
Yeah, that sounds very nice. We also went down on spring break, different direction than you. We went to North Carolina with the in-laws.
Okay.
We went golfing and saw some gators and a fox. They seem to think that...
They have gators in North Carolina?
Yeah, apparently.
I'll guess so.
Yeah, and the fox they thought was rabid because it was out during the day. But I wanted to feed him. They told me that was not, in fact, a good idea. You know, who knew?
Okay, yeah.
All I had with me on the cart was Chex Mix, so I'm not sure that would have been particularly nutritious for our fox friend.
The foxes love Chex Mix.
I always assume that all animals like popcorn. I don't know why, but I always think, like, popcorn and carrots. That's what animals like. We also saw some dolphins on the beach, which... I mean, you know me. I was pretty in on that.
Yeah. You know, I thought about you a lot in a platonic way. We went to the zoo.
Oh, nice.
In Nashville, and I know you're a big zoo guy. So
I do, and this is going to make me sound like such a nerd. But yeah. I know that
a lot of what you do does. So.
I know the name of the aardvark at the Nashville Zoo. His name is Winsel, and they do Winsel Wednesdays on their Instagram account.
Like Tigers minor league Wenzel Perez?
Wouldn't that be like Wenzel? Because there's two E's, is there not?
Pretty white. I do not know.
All right, this took a turn. All right, so Eric, I came. I appreciate you thinking about me at the zoo.
So aardvarks, yes. Yeah. And Wenzel.
Yeah.
Wenzel.
Yeah. We'll get Keenan on the show again and just specifically ask about that. So Eric, this week I came across an interesting article. It was a piece online in what looked like is essentially a glorified blog page, but I was trying to come across as this kind of legitty news magazine type. And the headline read as such: Married woman pays professional cuddler $80 an hour to hold her. Apparently, ooh, in New York, there's a service called Cuddlist that people use to hire professional, I'm using air quote here, cuddlers. And
better than a cuddle. Never mind. Keep going.
But apparently business is booming.
Professional cuddlers.
Have you ever considered that?
I do have a cuddler's body.
You do have a you would make a great. Yeah. What would you charge?
I have warmth. You know, they're looking at raising the minimum wage, so maybe that. I don't know.
I mean, this dude's getting $80 an hour. I pay you
$80 an hour. You know, you have to keep her professional.
I would assume
which would be hard in most cases, probably. I don't know. Is this a booming industry, professional cuddler?
The article said it was, so clearly it has to be.
Well, I just told you, I mean, how much, we talked a little bit about nudity. Like, how are we talking about flesh on flesh here, or what's going on? This is fully clothed?
I think it's fully clothed. Like, I think it's just.
You need the heat transfer, or is this just
for human contact? Like, I think that's the goal in this.
Don't you need the, you know, skin then for the human contact?
I don't know. I'm not a scientist.
You're not a cuddlist?
So, I feel like this launched me into a lot of different things. Like if you offered me a sum of money to cuddle with various people, like, would you actually do it? Like, for you, 5 minutes cuddling Ron.
You're going to cuddle me?
No. This is asking you.
Okay, got it.
5 minutes cuddling Ron Gardenhire for $5,000. You do it?
For sure. I mean, he could pay me $4,000 and I would do it.
What's the minimum that you would do that?
I ruined the joke. I was going to say, I would pay him $6,000 to do it. I'm bad at this. Oh my gosh.
And not a great negotiator.
Right. What did you ask? What's the least I would take?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, nothing. I mean, just for the privilege of cuddling with Ron. I mean, that would be great.
Nice. I feel like I would cuddle with just about anybody for, like, not life-changing money, but, like, you know, day-changing money. Like, you give me $100 in my pocket? Like, yeah, sure, why not?
This is a baseball podcast. We're talking about cuddling.
Ron Gardenhire was shoehorned in there. This is still baseball content. So speaking of, it brings us to this week's leadoff question. Who from the Tigers universe do you imagine would give the best hugs?
It's got to be somebody with some flesh.
Of course,
right?
Of course.
You don't want anybody bony.
No.
You don't want Chris. No one wants to call Chris Sale.
That's true.
It's like cuddling a stalk of celery.
Yeah, he'd probably puncture some of your skin.
He would. He's a slender individual. So maybe one of the fielders.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
You know, Prince or Cecil.
I'm going to go with,
should be hugging each other. Like,
neither of them
up, guys.
Seem like particularly warm people, which I feel like is another key component in this situation.
Okay. So I have the perfect answer then.
All right.
If you're going with that. And that is Brian Peña.
Yes, that is the correct answer.
He fits the profile, doesn't he?
He does, definitely.
Yeah. Happy and snuggly.
Yeah. I went with Rule 5 Ronnie. Big guy, seemed like a fairly genial guy. And I imagine,
Shy Ronnie, man.
I feel like he could probably use the emotional support right about now.
he's hurt, right? He's hurt?
I don't know. Does, with all due respect to Rule 5 Ronnie, does it matter?
We carried him and now he's out of sight, out of mind.
Yes, hopefully forever.
Poor Shy Ronnie.
If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter and Instagram. I am at Hosted by Jay Hall. Eric is at Eric Wayne's Brain and the show is at Podcastianos. And we'd love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever platform you're listening to the show on. And of course, the show is brought to you by Moots Pizzeria in downtown Detroit. Looking to grab a bite before or after the game, Moots Pizzeria and Bar, located on Library Street, nailed it this week, in the heart of Detroit, is one of the Motor City's hottest restaurants. I feel like you're something snarky is percolating.
Well, you better get this promo in because it's the last week we're going to be sponsored by Moots Pizza after all the nudity and snuggling talk. We better get it in. Get it in, Hall.
Moots Pizzeria is the only authentic New York pizzeria in the city. I loved the truffled bumblebee appetizer and Nana's meatballs. Or if you're feeling generous, try splitting one of their specialty pizza with friends. There's no judgment here. Check out mootspizzeria.com to view the entire menu. And remember, Moots validates your parking for 2 hours when you park in the Z lot.
Yes.
Be sure
yes.
to tell them, Jordan, that's me, and Eric, that's
yes,
him.
Me.
Sent you.
Yeah, go get the pizza. That sounds delicious.
Pizza is delicious, and Moots Pizza is even more delicious still.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the podcast, Giannis.
So, since the last episode, it hasn't exactly been a joyride for the fellas. But last night, Monday night, we were treated to an absolute gem, as our buddy Jacob Skoronek put it. And I'm quoting here, listen, I'm not saying that Mize's dominance is a result of Chris Fetter, but I'm also not saying that. And then he tagged me. Casey was pretty good last night, and Chris Fetter, this was his first start back under Chris Fetter. I mean, I'm connecting dots with Jake right here, for sure.
Jordan, you're developing a reputation.
Thanks to you, putting it all over the internet.
You know, you need to maybe wedge a little less cuddling with you and Chris Fetter.
Never. Never. Although I do say that one of the first guys on the show that I ever was so tight with was Mike Pelfrey, and that didn't necessarily end so well. So maybe I should take, and then Verhagen, and then Blaine.
Yeah, you're gonna destroy our pitching coach before he has a chance.
My apologies, everyone.
So are we talking about Mr. Casey?
Yeah.
Mize?
What did you see out of Casey last night?
Well, I'm not breaking down mechanics, but. Last night was a bit of a revelation, wasn't it? It was a bit of, you know, and people had been kind of down on him spring training. He's not finding the strike zone up and down. But I want to do a little thought experiment with you.
Okay.
Let's imagine Casey Mize will be a Hall of Fame stud pitcher.
Easy to imagine that.
Let's imagine
I'm
that.
There. All right.
Let's say he fits into the camp or the profile of somebody like Justin Verlander. Okay. Right. Or maybe Max Scherzer, who is also a very good pitcher, if you haven't noticed.
Probably a surefire Hall of Famer also.
Yeah. Yeah. What do these couple guys have in common with their very earliest days in the big leagues?
Ups and downs.
They had ups and they had downs.
Specifically Max.
Casey, I remember Max, after being traded to the Tigers, spending some time in Toledo.
Yeah. And now, and he came Justin over Verlander. As more or less a, you know, finished product.
Right.
Yeah.
Verlander came up and was not a finished product. I don't think they sent him back down, but I remember listening to Dan Dickerson describe him on the radio, and there were starts in there that were just plain erratic. Couldn't find the strike zone for a while, hitting guys up and down. So I'm not saying correlation is causation or ascribing too much to Casey Mize. But if you still want to dream on Casey Mize, his preliminary returns give you nothing to dissuade you from that. And now after last night, I think it gives you even more ammunition of something to dream on, because Scherzer and Verlander too had those flashes of brilliance where you're like, okay, yeah, I see it. And with Mize last night, it was kind of like, okay, I see it now.
Yeah, definitely. I spent some time on StatCast this morning looking at, like, so clearly he's pitching better these last two starts than he did at any point last year. Like, what's the difference? One thing that I think is really interesting, the average movement on each of his pitch, each of the different kinds of pitches is down across the board from last year.
Really?
Still above average, but it's almost now, like he's controlled it more.
Is this spin rate
No,
stuff?
This is, I mean, it's kind of more advanced.
Are they correlated?
Stuff.
Okay.
Spin rates are fairly similar to last year, but okay. Just the stuff isn't quite as moving as extreme, essentially. Like, I think he's working with a little bit more, essentially, command, knowing how far all of his pitches are going to break. And I got to imagine that is adjusting to, as Jim Price would say, the taller buildings and the brighter lights. Like, this is not, you know, you can pitch in the SEC and you can pitch in Toledo, but you get to Detroit even with nobody in the stands, and like, that's a whole different experience, even for somebody like Casey. Also, his average velocity on the fastball is up 2 miles an hour from last year. Like, that's not insignificant.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's just simply getting the command and velocity combination that we expected from him. Like, I think that arsenal is just with him now. And if he has that arsenal, I don't think there's any reason to doubt that some of the signs that we're starting to see are legitimate.
Right. So there's no question he had all the tools, but deploying the tools to college hitters or against college hitters, I'm imagining is significantly different than deploying them against fully grown professionals.
And I would certainly assume so.
And I think that has to just take some time and acclimation to figuring out what guys will swing at, what they won't, when I have to go in the strike zone, when I can get away with going in the strike zone, when I shouldn't, you know. These guys are brilliant pitchers. I'm not going to be able to second guess them, but I'm guessing there's an acclimation process that's needed. Very rarely are, especially pitchers, are coming out of the gate just mowing people down.
Yeah, I feel like it always happens against us, so we think that is just what happens.
Right.
But it's just because we don't have a very good offense. Like, there is a reason for that. Are you starting to buy in? Like, do you think that as I put in the preview show, that the conventional wisdom of him having arrived, do you think we're starting to see legitimate signs that we're moving that way?
Well, there's two questions. Has he arrived? No.
Clearly not.
Is there lines of evidence that say he's heading that way? Yes. I expect almost the entire year to have brilliant starts and dog starts. And I think that's going to be par for the course. And a Hall of Famer like Justin Verlander experienced the same growing pains, and it's nothing to yell about or get your underpants in a twist about. but you just, you get to enjoy the early maturation process.
And also copy paste for Tarek Skubal. Like, he came up last year and had more early success, but all of the things that we just said about Casey more than apply to him as well. Like, he's, I feel like he's maybe shown a few more signs than Casey in the early going, but I don't know. I'm super excited. I'm the type of fan that gets super excited, but I'm super excited.
And you have to carve out your career and carve out your excellence. Nothing's given to you. Could you see one of these two guys absolutely flame out or become, you know, mediocre or less than mediocre? Sure. Everybody gets to, you know, write their own story and make their own narrative. These are people. They're not just a set of numbers on a stat sheet. And we'll see. But if you want something to hope on, all the tools are there.
Yeah, let's hope on them. Like, us being negative on Twitter and whatnot every time he has, you know, five walks in a game, like, that's not helpful. Let's be positive towards him. All right. Something to be maybe a little bit less positive about. The Cleveland series that we just wrapped up, we saw Plesac, Savale, and Logan Allen. It kind of, you said that you want to touch on this, and I completely agree. Kind of brought to the fore the difference in the way that the Indians and us are, excuse me, the I-words and us are very similar franchises in terms of budgets, market sizes, but we've had vastly different results over the last, 10 years, I might even say, in developing their pitching resources. Between 2014 and 2018, we've used at least one, if not two, top two-round picks on pitchers. And yet, I mean, they just keep pumping out. You know, before it was Bieber and Savali and Plesac, it was Kluber and Carrasco and Salazar. Mm-hmm. And like, they just keep pumping these guys out. And like, there's no discernible difference as to why we can't do it. Where are we going wrong?
Well, Dan Dickerson broke this down on the broadcast a little bit. And I'm going to paint with a really broad brush here. Yeah, and I'm going to overgeneralize. But it seemed like the Indians were taking guys who had excellent mechanics and feel for pitching, but were a little maybe shy on the velocity. You know, maybe they showed some promise or some good potential tools, but they had the mechanics down and they showed some really success. And I feel like the Tigers' modus operandi, and we joke about it all the time, is we're going to get flame-throwing SEC pitchers, and we're going to hope that they find the plate.
The rest of and their game, yeah.
We're going to hope that they, you know, in the NFL, there's this saying, you can't teach speed, right? And I feel like the Tigers were kind of like, well, you can't teach speed. We're going to get flamethrowers. But in the case of the Indians, I wonder if maybe you can teach speed. And that is, they grow into their velocity. And with the guys that you just referenced, it seems to be a trend among the Cleveland baseball team that they pitch the guys, they draft the guys with the pitchability, the good mechanics, and you hope that they add 3, 4, 5 miles per hour on their fastball as they get bigger, as they grow and they mature.
As they get more in new coaching.
And the coaching, right. But that seems to be a model that served them really well. What draft was it? They have
2016 was Savali, Bieber, and Plesac.
And it seemed to me that those were all guys who were not lighting up radar guns, but had solid.
What's really interesting is where they came from. Plesac was from Ball State. Midwest, not exactly a typical, you know, baseball hotbed. Savali was from Northeastern. Like, these are areas that you kind of have to mine for guys because, you know, with the crappy weather that we have, like, baseball.
These are not Auburn, Vanderbilt.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Yeah. Bieber was from, he went to UC Santa Barbara, but still, like, that's, I don't know, West Coast Conference team, maybe? Like, that's not a Pac-12 team. Yeah, they scratched a little bit deeper in the surface than, like you say, going out and getting Jonathan Crawford because he throws really hard at Florida.
Sure. And, you know, Alex Faedo. I mean, wasn't he a Florida? He was Florida?
Yeah.
Now, might the Tigers be departing slightly from that model. We've seen more position players, and maybe we've seen, but yeah, it's kind of become a running joke. Flame throwing SEC guy, oh, or drafting another reliever.
Yep. So here, since 2014, Turnbull, flame throwing Southern
Arkansas.
Kid. Somewhere down there. Bo Burrows, Matt Manning, Kyle Funkhauser, not Southern, but Louisville. Like, he comes from an illustrious program. Fayedo,
sure.
Obviously Casey Mize, you know, clearly that was a good choice, but
yeah, right.
It reeks. And you say that you think we're changing the model. I don't know that we're necessarily changing the model on purpose. I just think that the situation has dictated varying from our obsession with hard throwing guys from Tennessee. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we weren't going to pass on Riley Green when he slipped to what, 5, 6, 7, whatever it was. And it will be very interesting to see what they do at number three. Hopefully Jack Leiter is still there at number three and we don't have to worry about it. But I'd be really interested to see what they were able to do with Kumar in the system, because that one seems like a train wreck waiting to happen if we're the ones that take him.
Dan Dickerson had a lot of praise for a long-term Cleveland coach, Niebla.
I remember who you're talking about, but I can't remember his name.
Yeah. They have something that they can bring these guys along.
I know this is going to sound terrible, but I'm used to watching soccer, and when somebody's doing something well at a smaller tier, a big boy will just be like, here. I was going to say, have a lot of money and come right. Do that for us.
Sure.
I mean, I feel like we could do worse. You mentioned Dan, and I listened to a lot of Dan on the radio this past week because we were down in North Carolina of the MLB app. He is absolutely incredible. Listening to him call innings 1 through 3 and 6 through 7 through 9 just by himself. Like, it is mind numbing. As somebody who tried to do something similar a couple summers, like, what he does is absolutely incredible.
And Evan Woodbury, who was on the podcast with us a couple of weeks ago, joined him in the booth while Jim Price was out. And he was effusive about his skills, you know, be able to sit there next to him and watch him do his thing. And it's not just calling home runs or calling exciting things. It's weaving in the promotions. It's talking about things when things aren't exciting.
Yeah.
And Dan just approaches things with a sense of curiosity and wonder and exploration. And I am to Dan Dickerson what you are to Chris Vetter. I mean, I can never stop tooting his horn because he's amazing.
Yeah, we've talked at length about the TV broadcast. If that is something that that you struggle with, it's $20 for the season. Download Dan and just go with it. That is the play.
And I hate to dog on Matt Shepard too much.
It's been done. Yeah, but
because it's a little cliched. But I tweeted out something last night about Shepard's home run calls and how they're different than Dan's. And Dan's just he relies on the knowledge of the situation. Like, is the home run a surprise? Is it way far? Is it a wall scraper? Is it a question whether it's in or out? All these things are baked into his home run calls. And on the TV side, I think it's just waiting to confirm that it's going to be out and then yell home run. And I get it. It's a hard skill. But I think people are even experiencing longing and nostalgia for Mario and Rod. I mean, it was a technically better broadcast.
Yeah, definitely. If I'm not mistaken, this is the last year on the Bally's contract, correct?
Isn't it after the announcers or for Bally's altogether?
Bally's carrying it.
Could be. I don't know. Right. Well, there's some innuendo that the Illiches might start their own network.
That would be interesting.
You know, in the scheme of what does New York have? The Yes Network. And Cubs have Marquee now, I believe.
Not sure it's quite the same cachet with the Tigers with those two teams, but sure, why not?
What are you naming the network?
Eat 'em up Tigers.
But if they're carrying, say, the Red, well, obviously they have the Red Wings and the Pistons too. That'd be a fascinating question. The D. What would you name the network?
Yeah, that's a good question. And if they're looking for, you know, two pretty handsome gentlemen to fill an hour on the television, you know, just holler at your boys.
Johnny Kane and Ryan Field.
That's not who I'm pretty sure Ryan Field has a much bigger job than that at this point.
He's moved to the food chain.
So in addition to our struggles with developing pitchers, we've also had some rotten luck with signing pitchers, culminating, of course, with Jose Urania walking, I believe, 5 on Sunday.
Ugh.
And Julio Teheran hitting the IL.
Yeah, I've been low on Urania.
It turns out you were right. You were correct.
And I kind of got some crap about it because people are like, you're just judging his performance on 2 spring training outings. And I'm like, well, he wasn't that good with the Marlins. And yeah. If you're the best pitcher or one of the, if you're only carrying your own with the Marlins, maybe you're just not very good.
Yeah. It's pretty problematic. And I think I'm always the fan of this. I think he needs to be moved to the bullpen. The fastball will play up a tick. Yep. He can go back to just 2 pitches. I think he is a textbook, even 2 inning guy out of the bullpen. I think that is a move that will be made sooner rather than later.
Well, with the Teheran business.
Yeah.
We got Turnbull coming back, right?
Yeah, should be soon.
Hopefully, maybe.
So here are some of the pitchers that we've signed over the last 10 years. No, 5-6 years. Jabba and Gorzolani in 2015.
Gorzolani.
Not so great. In 2016, we traded for Francisco Rodriguez, signed Jordan Zimmermann, Mike Pelfrey, and Mark Lowe. Mixed results there. It's a joke. Those are all terrible. In 2018, Liriano and Fiers. Not great. Matt Moore and
Fiers was good.
Yeah, that's
Fiers
true.
Fiers was good. We ended up trading Fiers to the A's.
Oakland.
Yeah, and then he pitched really good after that. Fiers has probably been the best of the bunch for us.
Matt Moore and Tyson Ross, then Ivan Nova, and then this year, Teheran and Urania.
Yeah,
Matt
Moore and Ross are like the cliche of wasted effort.
Yeah. I feel like I have a hard time throwing Matt Moore quite in that same bracket because he got hurt, and he was halfway decent before he got hurt. But, right, but I mean, that's that, like that comes along with scraping the bottom of the barrel, as we do.
Is Teheran going to be – I mean, he went on the 60-day –
I mean, we
might. I got to say this right. IL.
We might not see him again in a Tigers uniform.
That's what I wonder.
Yeah.
He might just be done.
Which it was a beautiful
one start.
7 days that we got to dream on it.
Good grief.
Hopefully Julio will bounce back and have a good rest of his career. Is this just symptomatic of, as I said, scraping the bottom of the barrel? Or are we not very good at evaluating talent? I mean, it can be both.
There's a reason the free agents we get are the free agents we get, and that is they're cheap. I mean, when you buy stuff at the dollar store and try to make it work, there's a better chance of it breaking. Teams are willing to pay more for more reliable, sturdy, less injury prone players. And we get like you said, the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah. All right. So we've talked a lot of negatives, which isn't usually our MO. So I want to end this with a little bit of positivity.
Yes.
There are some players on this team that are due some positive regression. We are going to name them.
Okay.
Am I going to name them? Do you have any here?
Well, so Robbie Grossman has walked. So he's got like 10 walks, but he's probably going to hit, and you've seen it a little bit. He's probably going to hit more and with some more extra base power. So that's going to normalize. He'll probably walk less and hit more.
Or walk the same and hit more.
Oh, that would be nice.
I mean, he could lead the AL in OBP. He could lead baseball. And I'm just kidding. I don't think that's actually going to happen. But
I don't remember the actual numbers, but for a while he was like, he had a OBP that was off the charts and in a 0 batting average or something like that. I thought that was funny.
Last I checked, it was north of 400. I mean, somebody tweeted this and I can't remember. A good host would remember, but it's been a long time since we've had a real pain in the butt leadoff guy. We got one now. Like even if he doesn't turn out to be, you know, a 5 war guy, which he obviously won't, He is a plus, and it's been a while since we've actually signed a plus.
When it comes to not swinging, Robbie Grossman is the best at not swinging.
He's your guy. He is your guy.
I love guys who do nothing.
A couple interesting stats I found. Miggy's batting average on balls in play. Obviously, he's injured right now. 105. There will be some positive regression coming for Miggy's batting average. It didn't seem that low, but looking up this morning, I'm like, oh, yeah. Yeah, he's probably got some coming. And Tyler Alexander, 7.36 homers per nine this year. Oh. He's given up a lot of home runs. His career rate's only 1.92. That'll normalize. Like, I don't know. I'm not a huge Tyler Alexander guy. Like, I think his talent is marginal, but he's better than what he's shown.
Another guy who I think will show more, and he had the golden sombrero yesterday, and that is Jonathan Scope. I predicted him to be good, and okay, he's going to strike out a lot, but he'll get better.
Yeah, definitely. He was penciling
him in there. He'll be fine.
I put this completely down to getting to camp late. Like, I think it's that simple.
Yeah.
I still think that he is, like we've been talking about, a bit of a bottom of the barrel free agent signing. Like, he's not great, but he is a lot better than what he's shown. Yeah. And I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to your power rankings.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Power rankings. We have both done some travel recently.
We have.
Yes. And I also saw this interesting ranking. There was this study where some college or whatever.
Nerds.
Some nerds created a study where they presented people with two states. Okay. And the people had to just simply select which of the two American states they preferred. And using this technique, they ranked all the states.
I like this.
And I think it was a fascinating technique for ascertaining which is the best state.
Yeah, seems fair.
Yeah. So, you know, it's this nerdy ELO style ranking, but they did it. And I won't spoil it for you who was worst and last or best and last.
We know who was worst. It was Ohio.
Poor Ohio.
No. Huh? Don't have any pity for Ohio. Okay. Ohio's the worst.
So I have for you the seven best and three worst American states.
Okay, this is interesting. We've had a lot of geography stuff from you lately.
Yeah,
I
know. I'm dipping into this pond again, but you know,
I think it's
like
good.
I've done a lot of food lately, and I wasn't feeling the food. And all right,
I got no issues here. I think this is good.
And writing instruments was recently taken, so I couldn't do that.
Yeah, where did you land on Keenan's power ranking? Did you like him?
He did a pretty serviceable job. I did listen, and I kind of laughed because he was trying to exude my kind of energy, yeah. which I applaud.
Definitely. I mean, he made you expendable.
Yeah, he's an upgrade. I heard
several times. Yes,
talking smack about me. I'm cut to the core, deeply offended.
Just rank something.
States number seven. This is going to be kind of a surprise, but it's only number seven, and I'm choosing Pennsylvania.
Okay, why?
It's got cool cities, historic Philadelphia, Pittsburgh is cool. Our own farm club, Erie.
Yeah.
It's got a mix of good big cities. It's got beautiful natural areas. It's got Big Ten colleges. It's It's Penn's forests. It's the Sylvania.
True. And it's got Lancaster County. A little bit of everything.
Yeah. Got the omelets in there. It's great. I like Pennsylvania's fine. Number six is Colorado.
Ooh.
It's beautiful, right? It's got the mountains. I enjoy a nice skiing. You can go up and down the hills. It's got Denver, which provides some class. I hear it's got, you know, hipster hippie cities like Boulder. And it's kind of on the leading edge of the marijuana if you're into drugs.
We're actually going out to Colorado for vacation this summer.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I won't ask you about the recreational opportunities.
All I have to do is go outside in my neighborhood and I have a recreational opportunity. I don't need to go to Colorado for that. My neighborhood constantly smells like recreational opportunities.
Yeah, I could smell. I drove past South Bend twice and there's just this fog of opportunity smoke over top. So, five, Oregon. I have to confess, I've never been to Oregon.
Me either.
But just the pictures, it's got mountains. It seems beautiful. It has a nice climate,
yeah,
from what I understand, you know, kind of moderate. Portland,
yeah.
I've always heard it's got a lot of hipsters.
A lot of hipsters. That's a theme that's running through all these. It's starting to make me wonder about you.
Yeah, I love the eco crowd. number four is Hawaii.
You been?
Right. No. But it's the essence of tropicalness.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. The reason it's not higher is it's a pain to get to.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, you have a long flight for us peons who live in the contiguous United States.
Yeah, I feel like you can end up in other states, but you have to like purposefully go to Hawaii.
Yeah. But I want to walk down the stairs off my airplane and have a beautiful woman put a flower necklace on me.
I'm actually good. I want that, the wedding. I think I'm good.
I'd rather have that than the cuddle. Save the cuddle, put the flowers on my neck.
Well, start that app and then you can do that.
I could be a layer. I can go around laying people with the flower necklace.
With the flower necklace.
That's what I'm saying.
There we go.
Number three is New York. Now, there's a reason tourists, when they visit the United States, by and large, go to New York or think of New York. It's a cultural center. I mean, go see Hamilton. In New York, you can be a new man. It's right there in the musical. But it's got the Adirondacks, the Finger Lakes, Lake Placid. It's got both. It's got city and country.
Saying get you a state that can do both?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
All right.
With the exception of this next state, I just returned from there, and that's Florida. Now, Florida has a reputation for having insane people because it does have insane people. That's why it has that reputation. I've met people in Florida who are legitimately insane. But it's got cool cities, you know, Miami, Tampa, big college towns. It's a wonderful refuge to go when it's cold. But it's got lakes. It's got fishing. The nature is low. It's kind of swampy, but it's still nice.
Yeah.
Where else can you go when it's freezing out?
Even the swamp has its own ecosystem. Yeah, your Florida Panthers and your Gators. Like, there's still cool stuff even in the Everglades.
It's true. I went to the Circle B Bar Ranch and read the signs. I know. That's the place in Lakeland where they have the nature.
is that the
one spot where they have the nature.
Is that the one Lakeland park where there was so much snake humping that they had to keep everybody out for like a week? You know what I'm talking about?
So people weren't scarred by all the snake humping?
No, I think they didn't want to disturb the snake humping. They wanted them to hump in peace.
I'm not going to ask too many questions, but it seems like a long, drawn-out affair.
Apparently.
snake humping.
Yes. Somebody out there listening, I'm sure, knows.
Some lyrics. Can we say humping? Sure. So we can do what we want. We spent the first half of the show talking about garden or garden, how you're nudity or whatever.
You're the only one that wanted him naked. I was just asking about cuddling. You're the one taking his clothes off.
Wouldn't he be kind of red? Kind of fleshy?
So. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Rosy.
Yeah, rosy. That's the perfect description.
State number one, and I regret to inform you that the best state is still California.
Oh, I did not see that coming. I assumed it was Michigan, considering, you know, Michigan.
No. California has a beautiful climate. There's a reason people want to live in Los Angeles, and it's not just movie stars. It's got beautiful cities. It's got a variety, right? There's a reason Hollywood is in Hollywood, because they had a lot of set opportunities to choose from. And if you notice the theme in my rankings, I like the diversity. And if I want to go to a lake or the ocean or see a mountain or go to a show or a city, California kind of has it all. It's a pretty good state. That's number one.
All right. That's fair.
Okay. Three worst. Nebraska is third from the worst. What are you doing for us, Nebraska? You got the Corn Huskers, but that's about all you have.
Yeah, I genuinely, like, if you were to say, name three facts about Nebraska, I'd be like, I don't know, I'm out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, even Nebraska's helmet, it's got, like, an N in Arial font.
Like, that's all they got. Yep.
That's all you got. Number two is North Dakota. You couldn't even have Mount Rushmore, North Dakota. What are you trying for? What are you doing up there for us?
Maybe they're tanking to try and join South Dakota.
I told you in the previous podcast, just mush them together.
Yeah, why not?
We don't need two Dakotas. Just call it Dakota.
Dakota.
One. It's fine. Number one, worst state.
I'm going to be very disappointed with you if it's not Ohio.
It's not Ohio. It's Mississippi.
Sounds like it comes from a recent personal experience.
No. Mississippi... What are you giving us? You have no cool cities. It's hot. You have the big river, but you don't even have New Orleans. And it just feels like you have super large amounts of racism.
It's not funny, but yeah.
It's not funny. You're laughing at it. But I feel like if I wanted to really find a racist, like, where would I look?
Mississippi, Alabama, for sure.
Yeah, maybe Alabama.
I mean, Mississippi and Alabama are the same state also. So,
yeah, it's fine. Yeah. The only thing good it's got for it is it's fun to spell.
Yeah, that's true.
MISSISIPPI.
It's probably the longest word that you know how to spell.
Probably. Thank you, friends. That was Power Rankings.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
Nothing on the side of the road this week, so let's jump right into Twitter questions.
Oh, okay.
Twitter questions.
You didn't see anything alongside the road. What do you...
Not really. I saw from Winnie the Pooh, Tigger, the tiger, which now that I'm saying that, I understand why they named him that. I saw a Beanie Baby of him.
Did that just dawn on you?
I never thought about it. It doesn't...
Tigger, like...
It didn't impact my life in any way. I've thought through.
Okay. Twitter questions. I'm pulling them up on my cellular telephone so I can talk to you on the computer. Okay. Pizza Slayer JSlaw 0809 says, on recent pod, you replied to a question stating, this must be one of the slaws. Do you think anyone in history has ever replied to the questions by saying, this must be one of the Saltalamacchias?
That's a pretty good question.
So I got to tell you, I mean, the slaws here in Western Michigan are like rabbits. They're like Smiths. They're next to the molders in Dutch reproduction. They're all hanging out somewhere in East Saugatuck, and everywhere you find a slaw, they're all over.
Okay, good to know.
It's kind of an inside joke, but they'll enjoy that.
I'm taking notes.
Okay. I feel like they're... Where are they? How hard can this be, people? Just respond to the post that I put.
Here, I'll read some while you're searching. This one comes from Nick Wisniewski. What two current Tigers would make the best spring break odd couple?
Oh, so you want somebody who's talks a lot and somebody who doesn't talk at all.
See, I was thinking somebody that's like super serious and someone that's super silly.
Yeah, that's right. So
I feel like Griner would make a good one for serious. Yeah.
Miggy and Griner.
Yes, there we go. Miggy is obviously the,
like, super famous, big bling earrings, has all the wealth in the world, and Grayson Griner. That's a good answer. I like that. Consensus. Which current, this is Brett Yoder asks, what current / former Tiger player most likely to be a wet blanket on a spring break trip?
I mean, that, I feel like that kind of goes along with what we just did.
My answer is Alex Avila.
Why?
Because he's a grandpa. He's got grandpa energy and he's the boss's kid.
That's true.
He's keeping an eye on you.
That is true. Yeah. I don't know. I don't necessarily think there's a lot of wet blankets on our team.
Like, no, it's true.
Maybe Boyd.
Shawnee Pat asks, of the following, who is with the team still as they turn the corner? Rank and likelihood. And our choices are Boyd, Turnbull, Fulmer, and Candelario. So I thought about this question a little bit. And I think the answer is, who do we re-sign? Yeah. Because it could be a little while.
Yeah, definitely.
And maybe these guys, you know, arbitration years would expire or whatever. Of those, I would maybe say Candelario?
Yeah, I would definitely say that he is the most likely, followed by Boyd. I could see Boyd being a lifer.
You know, it's almost like which of these guys is the worst, because that's the guy who would get afford to re-sign. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I would say Fulmer, he just is all energy. He's an injury risk all the time. He's already had Tommy John. I don't think it's him. I would say Candelario, Turnbull, Boyd, and Fulmer. That's my ranking.
All right.
Michael Litzner asks, who do the Tigers commission for the Akil Baddoo statue that will be at Comerica Park?
I got to be honest with you. I don't know any sculptors.
For Akil Baddoo is going to be up there, Hall of Fame. I think it's got to be one of the Ninja Turtle sculptors, right?
Yes.
Michelangelo or Donatello.
Dig him up and put him to work.
Yeah. Get one of the Ninja Turtle guys back to life and get him carving.
Yeah, that's the right call.
Osmadiyar the Distasteful, whose handle is Slugwizzy, asks, this goes with our theme for the night. What is the most painful place you have ever been sunburned?
This is going to sound like a cop-out, but it's true. With my Filipino blood, I've never really been sunburned too often.
Ooh, much. Get that melatonin going.
Whatever. Yeah.
Okay. I have a couple stories if you want to hear them.
Absolutely.
I'm surprised you didn't say no.
We all want to hear them.
The most painful place I've ever been sunburned, and this is stupid, but I was skiing in Colorado as a middle schooler. And as you know, the sun is still pretty intense, even when it's cold out. So when you're skiing, you have to put on some pretty significant sunscreen.
Really? I know that.
Yeah. So even if it's cold, the sun's still intense and you're at altitude because you're skiing and it makes it more intense. So I slathered my face with the sunscreen, but I missed the bottom of my nose and the light all reflects off the snow and it burned the bottom of my nose. And, I had blisters and it was peeling and it was the most painful thing. I had sunburn on the bottom of my nose.
Wow, that is incredible. I never would have guessed that was possible. No. You might be the first and or only.
I don't know. It was pretty intense, but I was in pain with that. Mr. Brightside, another slaw, C-Slaw 88. I told you.
Like which bunnies.
They're Dutch bunnies. Which current or former Tiger do you feel would be the greatest clompin' dancer? I have to set this up for you.
I was gonna say, you're on your own with this one.
So in Holland, Michigan, which where I grew up is in tulip time, which is coming up normally without COVID. They do this folk dance, which is called, you know, it's like a traditional Dutch dance, which is called klompen dancing. So which tiger would be the best at clomp? And you do it in wooden shoes. It's you get that clomp sound. So there is a right answer to the which current tiger. Do you have a guess?
I was going with a past tiger, Drew Verhagen.
Verhagen, you got the Dutch. Andy, do you remember Andy Van Hecken?
Yeah, of course.
He graduated from Holland High School. So he
I played a game in high school in the Dutch Dome. Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
His name was plastered all over the place for everything.
But there is a current tiger who is the right answer, and that is, of course, Derek Holland.
Oh, yes, of course.
Naturally, of course. Nick Wazinski asks, "Oh, you covered that one.
I sure did.
Evan 19950 asks,
"It's a lot of numbers.
Yeah, stop with the numbers. Do you like Bally Sports so far?
That's a good question. What do you think?
Well, I mean, this is just. You ever have it where you get the Meyer granola bar, or you know, Nutri-Green bar, and you open the box and you look at it and there's nothing that says Meyer on it. And then you go to Publix or somewhere and you open the Nutri-Green bar and it also says there's no like branding on it. Basically what I'm getting at is the packaging is different, but there's nothing different. I mean, this is private label broadcasting.
Yeah. I'd agree with that. I like the Bally branding a little bit better. It seems a little cleaner, but other than that, it's
Fox Sports Detroit was always kind of a mouthful, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it was. I don't know. It felt a little cartoonish at times. Like it was, you know, the dancing robot on Fox, like football. It always struck me as a version of that.
Does the gambling thing? I mean, that doesn't really. I'm surprised they haven't plugged the Bally brand in terms of gambling more. Because it's a casino in Vegas and all
is
that.
Is it? I didn't even know that. Yeah, I'm very surprised too.
Also, this is stupid, but it's also been an adjustment for me going from blue to red.
Yeah.
It's like, what am I watching? Oh, because everything's red now instead of blue.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with that.
Okay. The second part of Evan's question, since Aaron Rodgers is hosting Jeopardy right now, which current or past Tiger player or coach or media member would be a good host?
For Jeopardy. Based on what everyone seems to tell me, I would assume Curtis Granderson would be.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
I'd love to see Simo do it.
No, trying to pronounce those French words.
I think that would be incredible. I very much do want to see that.
That would be something. Kind of like I like to watch gymnastics for when they fall.
what a dick.
Come on. Why else would you watch gymnastics or figure skating? That's the best part.
I don't know. I don't watch them.
Yeah. Maybe, you want somebody super educated. How about our Dartmouth bro, Osmus? I don't know. Do we have any Harvard or Yale grad? I mean, we need some smart people.
I'm going to assume not.
Some cultured people.
Have you watched Rodgers on Jeopardy at all?
No.
He's actually been pretty
good. I saw one clip. Bro.
He's actually been pretty good. The thing that really stuck out to me watching him was, holy crap, Alex was incredible. Like, he was so good. There's so many things that are happening so fast, and you have to be the arbiter of all this stuff. Like, I thought Rodgers did a really good job, but Alex was a legend. He was an absolute stud. But
well, when you practice for three decades or whatever, you better be pretty good at it. But yeah, I mean, you need to know how to pronounce a lot of stuff. You need the cadence of the questions. You know how to, you know, there's these place names and linguistic things. He made it seem easy.
The little small talk bantery stuff that they do, is my absolute nightmare. I would not.
Oh, I hate that. I hate that. They should get rid of that.
Definitely.
You know what they should do? Just post a couple things from their social media and like, oh, here's a picture of this guy's fish. Here's her, you know, muffin recipe.
Yeah.
Agreed. Thank you. Boom. Skip the small talk.
Definitely. What else you got? Anything?
Oh, that's it. That's it for Twitter questions. Thank you, friends, for participating. But if you could make them better next time, that'd be great.
Just straight up insulting our listeners.
Yeah, be better.
The effort was fine this week, but if it could be better next week, yeah.
You know, it's like coaching Miguel Cabrera. You know, you always get to take the star players and get them that extra percent.
All about marginal gains. What up, fam? This is, of course, your boy Jordan here to tell you about one of my all-time favorites, Moot's Pizzeria and Bar. It is the only authentic New York pizzeria in the Motor City and has become a staple in the Detroit pizza scene. You know me, I don't play when it comes to pizza, and this is where it's at. Amongst the best of the best that they have to offer are favorites like Garlic Knots, the Uptown and the Bronx Pizza, Gemelli Pasta, and that chocolate lava cake is hotter than Andrew Romine in April. And they have some killer cocktails and a great beer and wine selection. Stop in with friends for a few pies and grab an authentic slice from the slice counter. It's going to be an instant favorite. Visit mootspizzeria.com to learn more or to place an order. And don't forget, they validate 2 hours of parking in Lot Z. Tell them Jordan and Eric sent you. All right. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at hosted by Jay Hall. Eric is at Eric Wayne's Brain, and the show is at Podcastianos. We'd love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and SoundCloud. Eric, anything else to say to the people before we get out of here for another week?
Sorry we scarred you with all the mental imagery on this episode. We'll try to do better next time.
Sorry, not sorry.
More clothes next time, you know, covering up with some hoodies.
That being said, we will catch you guys next week, and eat them up, Tigers. Eat them up.
Goodbye. You see my shirt? I ironed my shirt today like an adult.
On purpose?
Yeah. I ironed it.
This has been a production of the Alpha Dog Podcast Network. Find more shows at alphadogagency.com/podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.